You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com. Use promo code Bill at checkout.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Joining us now from Cedarville, Ohio, is a guest we've had on before, a very smart guy. Dr. Glenn Duer is a professor of international studies at Cedarville University and an expert in political science. So you're on the scene. I'm not. I used to teach high school, but that's a long time ago. I'm just appalled at the ignorance of these students in some of the finer schools, they used to be anyway, in this country. What is driving this, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's shocking in many ways, because when we think about just the sheer lack of knowledge, or just even desire to dig below the surface, even a little bit, just to map out what you noted post-World War II, or just the way that Israel was ganged up upon in 1948, and 1956, and 1967, and 1973. Really, Israel has had to fight for its life and to create for itself a country that can be safe. But in some ways, it's been a hollowing out of the curriculum. History is taught less. And when it is taught, there's a lot of, or a real lack of, ideological diversity, whether in high school, but more so in college, at the college and university level. Just depending on the statistics, somewhere between 1-3% are ideologically conservative. Now, certainly there are many Democrats that can be pro-Israel and have come to the fore there. But when there's just a lack of that diversity intellectually, it leads to this type of situation. Moreover, on social media, just these little snapshots that will tell a very, very brief story. And that's what's providing a lot of young people their information, rather than digging deep into the books, studying encyclopedias, things of that nature. I know it's difficult to travel. It's expensive to get to Israel. But if someone is on the ground, they will see an awful lot of nuance. Just you mentioned the wall. That wall is only 6% of the perimeter. The other 94% is a fence. And 140,000 Palestinians daily cross from that wall into Israel to work, to feed their families. And so there's an awful lot of nuance between those two major sides.
Yeah. Okay, but you know, genocide and all of this, this is the spouting of the progressive left. They're behind this. Why does the progressive left despise Israel, in your opinion?
A big basis of it is anti-Semitism, and another side of it is jealousy. Israel was came from nothing. The desert has now bloomed. When you look at Israel and look at a number of its neighbors, and I give credit to a number of those neighbors who have signed peace agreements with Israel, but it's green on one side and it's not green on the other side. Literally, the grass is greener in Israel because of what they've cultivated. Tel Aviv has become a high-tech hub. Jerusalem has become much more peaceful, a great cultural place for people around the world to visit. And then there are vibrant cities elsewhere, from Haifa to Netanya. A lot of Christians, myself included, will go up to the Sea of Galilee, will look at different areas where Jesus himself walked. And it really is remarkable what the state of Israel has done with tourism. And so a lot of this comes down to jealousy because the per capita income is much, much higher. And when you look at that circumstance, that's a part of it.
But why would the progressives take the side of the Palestinians slash Hamas? I mean, I don't look, if you're a progressive in America, you want a huge government apparatus to run every aspect of life. You want seizure of private property to redistribute income. This is what you want. Okay. So the progressives can make an argument that we are noble because we're looking out for the poor people who want to elevate them by government power. This is what we want. But in the Middle East is totally different. I guess the Palestinians, they feel, are oppressed by the Israelis, but you would think that the progressives might admire what the Israelis have overcome, you know, because they were, you know, you don't get more of an underdog than Jews in World War II, do you?
Absolutely. It's really the biggest underdog group. But since 1973, they've been certainly much more powerful. I think it flipped on that occasion. And many in Israel heartily support the free market. It is very complicated. The Netanyahu government, the conservative movement in Israel, has done very, very well. And so from that perspective, there's pushback in the progressive community in the United States. But there's just a lack of knowledge. Hamas won an election in 2006 after Israel withdrew from Gaza in 2005, and they have not held an election since. So we really don't know how the people of Gaza even feel about Hamas.
Well, there's polling, though.
Yes.
And I've been there like you have. I don't think they are disenchanted with Hamas. And the reason is that from the age of three, the Palestinians are taught to hate the Jews. They're indoctrinated to hate them. You know that.
Absolutely. I mean, one Jew plus one Jew equals two dead Jews in the counting and the indoctrination of Palestinian kids. But even in spite of that, you draw beyond the headlines, you will see antagonism against Hamas, people wanting to be free from them in Gaza. I'm not saying it's a large number, but there's been no elections since 2006. We have no way of knowing.
But they could be. They could leave if they wanted to leave. I mean, it's hard, but they could do it. Now, I want to harken back to the Vietnam era because it was the same kind of thing then, different issue. But the Jane Fondas of the world were sitting on guns, telling everybody how great Ho Chi Minh was, who was one of the most vicious tyrants the world has ever seen, Ho Chi Minh. The Viet Cong were great. Viet Cong going out, blowing up children at night. And it was the same thing. Hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? The same thing. The level of ignorance, my school, was incredible. I was on a school newspaper talking to these people. I didn't know anything. It's the same thing now. I know if I went to Harvard, and that's my alma mater, I went to the Kennedy School, and I gathered in five or six of these pro-Hamas people, I would destroy them in a debate. It wouldn't even be close. But they almost are smug, Professor, in their ignorance. They're smug about it. You see that?
It's one of the deep challenges because the progressive left is supposed to be for women's rights, for protection of women. And when we see just the sheer brutality that Hamas unleashed on October the 7th, killing over 1,200, but the sheer scale of kidnapping and rape and murder It was just astonishing. And then for that to be covered up, for it to be just dismissed by so many is just really.
Yeah, they don't believe it. Right. Right. They just don't believe it. I don't know. All right, doctor. Thanks very much for your expertise. Always enjoy talking to you. Appreciate you helping us out.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Bill. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/BILL.
Spring is the perfect time to make smart financial moves like getting life insurance to protect your family. Did you know that 46% of Americans expect to leave behind debt? Policy Genius Life Insurance can cover those debts like mortgages, credit cards, car loans, college costs. In our Smart Life segment, understand that life insurance gets pricier with age and work coverage may fall short. Policy Genius simplifies by comparing quotes from top companies and ensuring unbiased advice. Their award-winning agents are ready to assist. So don't wait. Spring into action and secure your family's future. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 a year for $1 million of coverage. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. That's policygenius.com. So joining us now from New York City is a New York City icon. His name is Curtis Sliwa, founder of the Guardian Angels. One thing you might want to know is that Sliwa never takes the hat off. He's got a special shampoo that kind of goes underneath it. And he's my colleague at WABC Radio, the big talker in NYC. So you're out on the street all the time. What about police morale? I mean, the day-to-day cops, how are they seeing all of this?
Well, you have a mayor who was elected. In fact, I ran against him as a Republican alternative, who said, I will protect the cops. I was a cop myself for 22 years. And unfortunately, he's done anything but. So he's actually signed consent decrees that would limit what the cops can and cannot do in the course of a demonstration or even making a normal arrest, and gave money to members of Black Lives Matter and Antifa 2 years after a rampage through the streets of New York City in the summer of George Floyd of 2020.
Who gave money Who gave money to Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Who did that?
That was just recently Eric Adams. He signed a consent court decree.
Well, what does that mean, though? Does that mean city tax dollars go to Black Lives Matter?
That is correct. To members of Black Lives Matter and members of Antifa who felt that because they were kettled in, it's called limiting your ability to move in the course of a parade, a march, a demonstration, whatever you want to call it.
All right, so this was a lawsuit that they settled.
Right, which should have been fought because it was ridiculous. Right. What will happen, for example, with the lighting of the Christmas tree, which is like part of Americana, you know, featured on NBC, the whole country will be watching, a lot of children, grandchildren, and they will attempt to march into the proceeding with no permit, no right to demonstrate, and immediately the police will allow them entry. They will not block their path of entry, and they will not actually execute any arrests until they actually commit a crime, which would mean to assault others who were there to watch the tree being lit up, when they attempt to vandalize property, pour blood on themselves and everyone else, and make their point of being pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, and anti-Israel. It is so easy for the police to limit you. You are entitled to demonstrate. You're not entitled to parade. You're not entitled to be able to use amplification. But all of that has been eliminated. The cops have basically said, no mas, no mas. They've taken their nightsticks away from them, which was a perfect way for the police to basically say, you don't go any further. It doesn't mean they hit anybody. It just meant they blocked their path of entry. And so now the only access that a cop has is either to a gun. We don't want them to threaten them, to shoot them. A taser. We don't want that. Or to tackle them. And that's ridiculous. So the cops have opted, they're built to say, well, we're not going to do anything. Because even if we have to make an arrest, they're going to turn them right loose before we finish.
Yeah, and then there are going to be any charges. So in your experience, I mean, this is your point of view, and I'm not going to challenge it because I think you're right. But the police officer who comes to work every day on their shift, have they just given up? They say, look, this city is ungovernable. The rules that prohibit us from keeping order are insane. So we're going to take our paycheck, stand there, and not do much. Is that what's happening?
Exactly. It's happening in the jails. It's happening in the streets. It's happening. There is no enforcement in the city of New York whatsoever. So when you see things that remind you of anarchy, understand the police are getting paid. They'll do their job. They've been trained in the academy to use proper force when necessary to make arrests, to stop individuals from doing harm to others and from vandalizing property. But the powers that be, in this case, the mayor and the police commissioner, will not allow them to do their job. And the mayor, in this case, Eric Adams, must stand up for law and order, public safety, and the police. And yet, what he has done is capitulate to the mob. As you know, he's involved in multiple issues that affect his ability to remain mayor, FBI, Department of Justice investigation.
Yeah, well, we'll let that play out. But de Blasio was worse, in my opinion, than Adams has been. So de Blasio basically ripped out the entire public safety apparatus of the city in conjunction with Albany, run by far left zealots, that passed the no bail law. The governor signed it, first Cuomo, then Hochul. So if I'm a police officer, and my grandfather was, I'm saying I'm outnumbered here. And even if I try to do the right thing, I'll probably get yelled at when I get back to the precinct house. But I'm still not convinced that the cops themselves have given up. You say they have given up?
Let's look at the smallest of crimes. Every day, we're going into holiday season now, Bill, 90,000 packages being delivered by United States Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, and the biggest deliverer now, Amazon, get stolen by porch pirates. That means the moment the package is left for the recipient, somebody is following the deliverer and just picks it up, steals it. No arrest. No arrest whatsoever. So you start at the lowest level. Shoplifting. Boldly, brazenly, people going in, taking items, leaving. Almost no arrest. So when you see something of that nature, you realize that, yes, the police have waved the white flag. And I'll tell you why. It's the reason that most citizens are unaware of. Every civil servant, every elected official, every judge, every prosecutor is protected with qualified immunity. That means if they make a mistake, and boy, there have been some big mistakes, men incarcerated for crimes they never committed who did 25, 30 years, and yet the judges and prosecutors responsible cannot be personally sued. We get sued, the taxpayers. The only people who have been stripped of that qualified immunity are police officers.
Right.
So now they stand alone. They could lose their house, their pension, their savings.
Yeah, because you can sue them.
Everything.
Right, right. And that's why they're leaving. That's an excellent point, Curtis. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll have you back. Hopefully this debacle will not unfold tomorrow at the Rockville Center, but we're on it. And we'll see you on the radio. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
Joining us now from Charlotte, North Carolina, is Paul Chesser. He is the Director of Corporate Integrity Project for the National Legal and Policy Center. They watch corporations. That's what integrity means, corporate integrity. See how they behave. So am I wrong here, Mr. Chesser?
Oh, no, not at all, Bill. You know, there's a lot more to it beyond Disney weighing in on the side of that law, or against the law that was passed by Governor DeSantis in the legislature in Florida. They're inserting, you know, Chris Rufo, the investigative journalist, was fed information from whistleblowers inside of Disney that said exposed their producers and directors, saying they're going to intentionally insert pro-LGBT material in children's programming and children's movies. And it was not long after that battle and that stuff was revealed that we saw Lightyear, the sequel, the latest sequel to the Toy Story series. They had created that film without any LGBT significant presence. And what they did was, in response to that Florida battle, they inserted a gay kiss into that movie. And that really, you know, beyond the poor quality of the film, it bombed last summer. So it's Disney not only weighing in on political issues they shouldn't be involved in, which is what we're about. We're shareholders in Disney, and we call companies to stay out of divisive politics like LGBT and abortion and so forth. Disney intentionally applying their social agenda, their LGBT agenda, into their programming, and
there was a disaster.
There would be customers are running away from it.
That was under Chapek, who they fired. All right, that was the CEO. It wasn't there long. They fired him, and now Iger is back. As I said, he's a very liberal man. He operates in Hollywood, which you don't get more left wing than that. But Iger has kind of toned it down, right?
Well, there's more to that story, because Chapek was in power for the equivalent of 5 minutes in the corporate world. Iger, even though he stepped away from the CEO role, he was still hovering in the background. There's articles in the Wall Street Journal at CNBC that really went into depth on this. Chapek, when the whole Florida confrontation was coming down, Chapek did not want to weigh in on it. He wanted to stay out of it and just sort of remain neutral and keep peace. until all the California employees raised hell and said, you know, you got to weigh in on this so-called don't say gay bill in Florida. And he felt pressured to do so. So Chapek spoke up about it against probably his better instincts. And that was also driven by a tweet that Iger had issued from the sidelines in Disney, but still involved, saying, you know, this is wrong, this whole Florida bill. So it was really Iger that forced and pressured the Disney's involvement in that issue. If it was up to Chapek, he would have stayed out. And then, you know, things sort of fell apart behind the scenes. If you read those articles, Iger gets frustrated with Chapek and not giving
enough love and so forth. And yeah, they don't care about that. What they care about is what you raise indoctrination to children by inserting things into children's films that should not be there. So in your opinion, can Disney make a comeback? See, I think Bud Light is done forever. Not Anheuser-Busch. They'll survive. They got other products. But Bud Light's not coming back because of the trans thing they did. Can Disney, when a stock drops 100 points, 105 points in a year, can they ever come back? Because people aren't going to forget this. They're not going to forget it.
Right. That 100-point drop represents 100, that's 100% drop. That halved the value of their stock. So what I would say is with the latest flops with the Marvels and Wish, and, you know, Marvels is somewhat, you know, put women in these superhero roles. You know, there's not a lot of fans, you know, as far as how that's portrayed. One of their top characters in the Marvels, latest Marvels movie is Kamala. I mean, what does that tell you about, is about the, about Disney's, where Disney's mind is at? And then Wish, which is supposed to be a throwback, you know, harken back to some of the popular songs in the previous Disney movies, popular Disney movies. They both have flopped, and it's the height of the Christmas season, a big season for that.
Sure.
And but they're not especially, from what I've heard, they're not especially injected with woke, you know, ideology or portrayals. So what I think has happened is Disney has destroyed trust. It's
no doubt. Their credibility.
The fans.
That's right.
The fans are staying away. So,
they are.
You know, it's hard to repair that trust. Even though Disney may, you know, shy away from that more explicit content, it's going to take a while. And, you know, last year or earlier this year, the shareholder meeting, we called for the replacement of the whole board, because they brought, even though last year Disney was a, you know, failed as a company, that stock had plummeted up to a year ago. We said, you know, the board doesn't deserve to return, but
it is out there. It is very, very left wing, and they protect each other. Mr. Chester, thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Now, let's get to our guest. We are pleased to have Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia. She is coming to us from Washington. She's a book out this month called MTG, her initials. That makes sense. And this is the first time I've ever spoken to the Congresswoman. Nice to have you here in the No Spin Zone. All right. I got a bunch of stuff I want to ask you. And it's not a debate. I'm not going to try to convince you of anything. Donald Trump still harkens back to the 2020 election, saying it's a fraud. Okay? I have advised him that that's not a good strategy. He should be looking ahead and running on his record, not relitigating the election. Do you believe that Trump's strategy of going back to 20 is a good strategy?
Well, actually, Bill, I spend a lot of time on the campaign trail with President Trump and on his behalf. And his Agenda 47, I think, is exactly the way to look forward. And I'm very impressed with it. I think it focuses on the American people and the issues that Americans truly care about. But when it comes to the 2020 election, I do believe there was election fraud. And I have a personal story with that. My own ex-husband showed up to vote and in person, and he was told that he had already voted by absentee ballot when he had not. He had to sign a waiver relinquishing an absentee ballot he never requested, never voted on, and he had to do so standing in line with a line full of people that were told the very same thing. And right now, there's some court cases going through Georgia that I think are very compelling, that shows that there was many absentee ballots that were replicated, and that is election fraud. So I think election integrity is so important. We should never lose sight of it. But at the same time, President Trump is doing a great job presenting Agenda 47 for the future of our country.
All right. Do you know why President Trump did not appoint a special counsel to investigate the election before he left office? Do you know?
I do not know.
Okay. I don't know either. That would have been the way to go. Okay. Second thing, Ukraine aid. So the United States has given about $45 billion so far, NATO about $35 billion. Do you support that?
I do not. And I've been one of the few members of Congress that have voted against the money going to Ukraine from the beginning. You see, I'm unapologetically American, and I believe that I represent the American people in the United States Congress. And our problems are so great here in this country, I think we should be focusing at home. Also, it's important to note that Ukraine is not a NATO member nation. And that's something significant that often gets left out in these conversations about supporting Ukraine. We have sent we have approved $113 billion to go to Ukraine. That's over 10% of our defense budget. While our border is being overrun every single day, and I serve on the Homeland Committee, it's been overrun by over 10 million people, and there are now over 1.8 million gotaways in our country. We don't know where these people come from. We don't know who they are. They could be terrorists, human traffickers, child sex traffickers, all kinds of criminals. And I believe these issues are so serious, and they're so serious because this is what the people in my district talk to me about, and this is what people across the country talk to me about.
All right.
They don't
would
want
you
to
support,
fund a war in Ukraine.
Would you support continuing aid to Ukraine if the asylum situation is revised? That's what's being talked about in the House and the Senate now. A deal. All right. Tighten up asylum in return. Would you support that?
I've been in some of these meetings, Bill. Actually, we had a conference meeting about it this morning. I do not support giving money to Ukraine. They're stealing our money. There's evidence of fraud there, and the Ukrainians are getting rich on American taxpayer dollars.
Now, I disagree with you because I know that Vladimir Putin will continue his encroachment. Now, I'm sure you know this, but he's taken a big slice of Georgia, the country Georgia. He controls Belarus. If he controls Ukraine, then he's right on the border. He can put all his weaponry right aimed at NATO. And then he goes into the Baltic countries that are right on his border as well. Finland just sealed its border because of the intrusion of Russians. So I submit to you, Congresswoman, we would pay 100 times more in 5 years than we're paying now because Putin's not going to stop. The second point is, if Putin's allowed to win in Ukraine, say goodbye to Taiwan, would the Chinese taking over Taiwan bother you?
Well, let me first preface this. Bill, there's no evidence showing Putin saying that these things are going to happen, just as you suggested. These are the talking points that come out of Washington.
Well, wait,
he's
already
foreign war.
He's
the evidence
already,
isn't there, and I won't apologize for supporting our country and wanting to fix
you
our
don't
problems.
Have to Congresswoman,
yes,
you don't have to apologize for anything.
Question.
You don't have to apologize for anything.
Question.
Wait, the record is that Putin seized Crimea under Obama. We did nothing. The record is that he sliced off 20% of Georgia. We did nothing. He controls the entire country of Belarus. We can't do anything about that. And now if he takes over Ukraine, he's got his weapons within hundreds of miles of all European capitals. This is an evil man. If you know your history, all right, Putin is Hitler light. That's who he is. Okay, I got a bunch of questions. Israel, do you support American dollars going to help Israel?
I have voted to support Israel, especially with their Iron Dome. Also supported their lasers. I just voted this week on two resolutions supporting Israel and their right to exist.
Okay, so you support
another resolution that condemns Hamas because they are terrorists backed by Iran. However, here's our problem, Bill, and I think this is really important for people to understand. The Biden administration wants to control that war, and they want to control how Israel fights their enemy, Hamas. And I would argue Israel has been very successful thus far because Washington is not controlling them. They've been able to bomb however they want to bomb, wherever they want to bomb. They've been able to send in their troops to go after Hamas, which I completely support Israel in doing. What I am totally against is the Biden administration going in and trying to control Israel and how they fight
their
enemies.
You and I agree on that. My congressman here is George Santos. He is a grifter. No doubt he is. I want to see him expelled from the House of Representatives. Do you?
I'm actually not going to vote for the expel resolution, but I support your right as a voter to make changes in who represents you in Congress. The reason why I'm voting no is this comes down to campaign finance violations. And if we set the record where any member of Congress can be expelled on campaign finance violations, which I think are very bad, then we are looking at expelling a lot of members of Congress. And okay, that's really the truth. Another issue is he hasn't been convicted yet in a court of law.
No, that's true.
That should be what
but
we
this
look
is,
at.
This is an expulsion vote, not a criminal vote. And I'm sure you read it, the House Ethics Committee report clearly states he took more than $200,000 in campaign funds and used it for personal expenses. And you know you can't do that. Okay, McCarthy.
Right.
I thought McCarthy did a pretty good job as Speaker of the House. I don't want the government shut down because I know that would boomerang back on the Republican Party, which I believe right now in our, and I'm not an ideologue, I'm not a party guy, I'm a registered independent. But the way we are situated in our history of this country, the Democratic Party is heading us toward ruin. And I mean that literally, ruin. Whereas the Republican Party would block the ruin. So I support the Republican Party. And I believe that if McCarthy, okay, had done what Matt Gaetz did and what you wanted to do and not compromised on a number of issues, that the blame would have all gone onto the Republicans and it would have weakened the party. Where am I going wrong?
Well, you might be confused, Bill. I didn't vote to oust Kevin McCarthy. I wasn't one of the eight. Actually,
did you vote not present or what did you vote on that?
No, I voted to protect Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I wasn't one of the eight. I think you have me confused with maybe Nancy Mace.
Thank you for correcting me.
No, as a matter of fact, I've been attacked a lot because I did support Kevin McCarthy, and I supported him all the way in the beginning. I wasn't one of the ones that voted against him
back in January 23. You have to be compassionate, though, in this Christmas season because I'm very old, okay, Congresswoman? Okay. So I should have known that. Final question.
Well,
I think you
got me confused. You introduced this show talking about extremists, and I was thinking, Bill's got to read my book. He's definitely got to read my
book. Well, they didn't even send me the book, but what we did was we researched your book. They didn't even send it to me. I'm not going to name the guys, but I know the guys. But anyway, okay. Just so you know. The final thing is in the book, whereas Nancy Pelosi tortured you. How badly do you dislike the former speaker?
I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi. As a matter of fact, working under her speakership was horrible. It really was. I saw this woman force through the Biden's agenda. I saw her bring two bills to the floor that would have made abortion legal up until the day of birth.
Yeah,
she passed the Green New Deal and many bills, but she was particularly cruel to me. And so, no, I'm not a fan.
It's an interesting part of your book. And the book, again, is MTG. Get Amazon anywhere. And we really appreciate it, Congresswoman. Thanks for taking the time. We hope we can talk again, okay?
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All
it's
right.
Good to talk.
Cheers. Sorting through your expenses, estimated payments, and all those tax deductions can be overwhelming, might even lead to a failure to file and failure to pay penalties that pile up on your tax debt. The attorneys at Tax Network USA have been lifesavers for many Americans. Their team has successfully saved clients more than $1 billion in tax debt, a billion. Whether you're in the hole for $10,000 or $10 million, they are ready to help.
The expert attorneys and tax professionals at Tax Network USA are equipped to secure the best settlement for you and help you resolve all tax cases. So please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. These debt relief programs are expected to change, so get started now. Please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
All right, new poll conducted by Sean Cooperman Research on big tech companies. This is another thing. Hysteria over Elon Musk taking over Twitter. All right, this is 1,015 U.S. adults. Survey taken by telephone. 79% worry big tech has too much power over news and publishing. 78% feel big tech manipulates the news and publishing industries for their own gain. 77% agree with the following statement. Congress needs to rein in big tech by passing reforms, okay? Now, one of those reforms is the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, or JCPA. Now, this has been in play for almost a year. It's introduced by a bunch of senators, but it's gotten nowhere. And now I'm going to bring in a guy who took this poll, who's going to explain to me all of this. Doug Schoen is a friend, a political strategist on the Democrat side. He's the author of the book, America, Unite or Die, How to Save Our Democracy. He joins us now from New York City. So what is JCPA exactly? What would that do if it's ever passed?
Yeah, if it's passed, Bill, and I do hope it will be, it would provide some compensation from the tech companies to the newspapers and periodicals whose content they use on their sites. Put another way, if people use your content, they ought to pay for it, particularly if they're as rich as big tech.
Okay, so this is just basically a compensation bill. Why hasn't it gotten up for law? McConnell doesn't like it, or why hasn't it gotten up
because
for
law? Because of big tech's power across the board, Bill, they have systematically blocked it. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have wide dissemination of content. It's all good. But pay people for their content in a way that's fair and equitable.
Okay, I don't have any beef with that. But I think most people don't care about that. They want some kind of government regulation of who's banned on social media, what is taken off, what is allowed on. They want some kind of supervisory capacity by the federal government. Isn't that what your poll showed?
No, I think our poll shows that they are afraid that big tech, acting on their own, has been an untrammeled force of, frankly, coercion. And as you alluded to with Elon Musk, a sense that somehow if the wrong people get in charge of a number of our outlets, it'll be bad. I frankly worry, I don't want the left or the right or anyone controlling our social media, our technology, and I sure don't want to be told by a tech company what I should or shouldn't read or what I should or shouldn't do.
Yeah, but that's the way it is now. And the only body who could regulate it would be the federal government. And most conservatives don't trust the federal government. And we've got, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy, pumping $430 million into very selected voting precincts in the last election. You've got Twitter banning the president of the United States, Donald Trump, mm-hmm. from its forum. I would say this is out of control right now, but I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, Bill, I'm just suggesting that about 80% of the American people believe there is a huge problem, agree with you, that it is out of control. And I'm not saying I have a fix, but I sure think just pay people for their content is a small first step in the right direction.
Okay.
But bottom line,
I'm not disputing that. Go ahead, bottom line.
You're right. Big tech is out of control. The president shouldn't be barred. I disagree with him on most things. We ought to hear from him, even if I disagree or you disagree. And
absolutely.
I think Elon Musk taking over Twitter is got to be a step in the right direction. Because
I hope it will be, but it's so complicated because there are 6,000 tweets a second in this world. So nobody could possibly regulate them all. And a lot of those tweets defame people. They cause children bullying and all of that. It is every front. This out of control social media is causing harm. Every front. But who's going to wave the magic wand, Doug, and solve this problem when you have such an enormous flow of whatever you want to call it, information or opinion, into these companies? They can't do it.
I understand that, Bill, but the kind of common sense of centrism that you bring to bear is the kind of judgment we need rather than ideological leftists like the one
there's no doubt.
You were
but even I, and I consider myself a pretty savvy guy.
You are.
I don't know how I would solve this thing other than maybe designating political commentary here, social there, having stated rules that you have to follow, posted. But even if you have them posted, who's going to take them off and on? You got to hire human beings to do that. These people are rooted in Silicon Valley. That's an 80% far left play out there. Or are they going to suddenly move to Iowa? I mean, that's all of this is in play. It's just crazy what's happening in this world, not just in a country. When you have the Russian government has a Twitter account that they can use every day and Donald Trump doesn't, you know, Doug, it's out of control, don't you? Right?
Of course it is. Of course it is. That's why I say it's a step in the right direction for Elon Musk to take over, because hopefully we will redress the balance and allow the right back on in a way that's fair and reasonable.
I hope so. Okay, let's get to your party, the Democratic Party. You know, Doug, your party doesn't exist anymore. You know that. It's run, and with the help of social media and the corporate media, it's run by far left people now. There's no Democratic Party. There's no party of the Kennedys anymore. That's gone. Am I wrong?
Bill, I wish I could tell you you're wrong. You're all too right. We elected Joe Biden and got Bernie Sanders. AOC and Bernie set policy, not those of us in the center, common sense, Clinton, Kennedy, Democrats.
Did you vote for Biden?
I did. I regret it now.
So you wish now that you had voted for Trump?
I didn't say that. But I.
Well, yeah, it was one or the other, Doug. It was nobody else.
You know, Bill,
could have stayed home, I guess.
You have to exercise a franchise for every office. Bottom line, Joe Biden is not a man I could vote to reelect. I couldn't really vote for his policies. Donald Trump has done a number of things that I can't accept, but you're allowed in America to reject both sides.
All right, so that's interesting take you have, because that's what I think is going to happen to the Democrats in November. I think a lot of them are just going to stay home. They're not going to run out and vote for Republicans. They're just not going to show up. And I'm talking specifically African-Americans and the minority communities that have bolstered the Democratic Party. They can't be going in with any enthusiasm when they're getting their butt kicked by inflation, can they?
No, the polling we've done shows that they are discouraged, and they're the victims of crime, and they're the ones who the defund the police movement impacts most directly.
No doubt about it. The poor in America are getting hurt badly by the Biden administration, whereas they did not get hurt, at least economically, by the Trump administration. Doug,
and if the Republicans, Bill, are able to inculcate that message of inclusiveness of minorities in support of free market capitalism, there could be a political revolution.
I'm not sure they can do that, but we'll see. Thanks, Doug. As always, always great talking to you.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day, and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.